Ooh, it's getting a little sensual with the mic. So, before the start of our Rage Quit episode, I would like to tell a little bit about Rage Quit's sponsor. So, welcome to another episode of Rage Quit, the husband and wife duo that discusses video games every week. Rage Quit is sponsored by AFK Clothing Co. Are you a gamer? Do you enjoy games? Then check out AFK Clothing Co. for all of your gaming apparel needs. As I record this, I am sporting an AFK green sleeve baseball tee that I absolutely love and wear every week. We'd never be sponsored by something we didn't like. And if you'd like to support the show, head on over to AFK Clothing Co., link in the description below, and type ASI in the promo code box to get 10% off your next order. As always, just follow the bear, and now on to the show.
Cool. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to Rage Quit.
Hashtag Rage Quit, hashtag Spooksy.
Hashtag wait, what?
Spooksy.
Spooksy.
Yeah, this is episode 11 of Rage Quit.
Ooh. Out of order, dumb cats. Yay.
Yeah, can't knock us over. First few seconds of the podcast.
Eh, you know, we have a big house with lots of critters. It happens.
Oh, yeah. They're on the stream all the time anyways. Especially the tweenies and the kitties.
I know. All right, kind sir. Kindly explain what we are going to talk about.
So, in our trend of more evergreen content that can be listened to over and over and over again, we are going to be discussing the rise and fall of the video game mascot. And I also think by the end of it, I think I've got good reasoning why it's not necessarily the fall of the gaming mascot, especially right now. Mm. I think gaming mascots are back, but maybe not labeled as such. I mean, that could be definitely a very generational kind of thing. But
yeah,
I think
that's
we'll
true.
Get there.
Well, that will come in time, kind sirs and ladies.
So as the resident Nintendo chick, do you want to start us off with maybe some of the, the more well-known, like, Nintendo icons or gaming mascots?
Yeah, I'm not going to be, like, very good with, like, let's say systems, like, you know, the naming Louise or whatever, but I feel like...
I think Nintendo's a little easier anyways because they're more long-running.
They are.
And they cover multiple systems. They do, it's not just, like, it's switched
every generation, no. The main ones I honestly can think of when it comes to Nintendo are Mario and Link, or Zelda, vice versa.
Yeah, and I'd say Link more than Princess Zelda.
Yeah, but most people don't realize that Zelda is not
a lot
Link.
Of people. Yeah, I mean, not a point. But I would say that, like, when you maybe even if they say Zelda, they're thinking
Link. Yeah.
So I think Link would be more
appropriate. Yeah. And I feel like that just kind of depends on whom you talk to. But like with it, when you think of Nintendo, what straight comes to mind, honestly, for me, it's Link's my favorite, yes, but it's honestly Mario comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. I think gaming mascots, especially in the 90s, which we grew up in, were very, like, prevalent, and it was very much a part of, like, PR for these companies and these systems, so they very much cemented in our kid brains that Mario is Nintendo.
Yeah.
And then for me, I was more of a Sega kid growing up, so it was Sonic the Hedgehog is Sega. I think a very important, like, distinction. I think the younger generation ourselves, probably like Gen Zers and stuff, aren't as privy
to that type.
To that kind of culture.
I don't think it really exists
in the 2000s as much.
Because, like, you know, when they say Mario, they just think of the Mario games. They don't really think of, like, oh, Nintendo.
Yeah, that's... And Mario is the Nintendo
mascot.
Yeah.
And, you know, same with, like, Zelda, they don't think Nintendo, they just think... I think when nowadays, when you talk about the character, it's not necessarily the system that it's on, because it's a lot of cross-play nowadays.
Yeah.
Or cross-platform games, except for, like, Nintendo, with its main characters. And I know Sony and Xbox all have their own as well, but...
Yeah, it's not as... Not as prevalent as it used to be. I mean, I think we're, like, as kids, video game culture was very new.
Yeah.
Like, home consoles were new when we were kids.
Yeah, because when you want to play video games, you had to go to an arcade to play them.
Yeah, it's like you talk about the NES... coming out in, what, like, 1985. Mm-hmm. I was born in 88.
Yeah, I was born in 91, so.
And so it's, like, if that's really... I mean, obviously, you have, like, Atari 2600s and stuff like that, but not as prevalent. Like, the NES, I think, was really, like, the big breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And families having home consoles.
Yeah.
And then from then on, you start to get, you know, the Super Nintendo or the Sega Genesis and... eventually into, like, the mid to late 90s where you have, like, the rise of 3D gaming mm-hmm. with the N64 and the PlayStation 1 and even, like, the Dreamcast and the mm-hmm. Sega Saturn and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
like, console gaming was new. So I think it was
it made sense to do
that PR push where it's, like, Mario is Nintendo.
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog is Sega. Not so much like, oh, what's your favorite Mario game that was on, you know, or
which
some people might say the original Super Mario Brothers or, you know, Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii or something like
yeah.
that. They more talk about the franchise or maybe the characters, the types of
no,
games.
No, just Mario was strictly notated with Nintendo and Sonic was strictly with Sega and. It wasn't, there's so many platforms now and generations of game systems and games even that it's just like, when people talk about it, they're like, oh, not, they don't say just Mario, you think
yeah.
Nintendo, you think Mario, which Mario?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Like, are you specifically talking about, you know, Mario Odyssey because it just released?
Or are you just talking about your all-time favorite Mario game,
you know?
It's not just Mario with Nintendo now, or vice versa with a lot of the games. It's not just Sonic, the Sega.
Because that's really, like, you know, where console wars kind of started. It was, like, the companies themselves had, like, public
mm-hmm.
rivalries. Whether they were real or not really didn't matter. It just drummed
yeah.
up support for, you
other
know, their
like,
respective
oh, I'm
camp.
Mario and Nintendo, yeah.
And because it was so new, most families only had, like, one console. Like, they didn't have multiple ones. And nowadays, gaming's matured.
It has, yeah.
And so, like, if you are a gamer or, like, your family are gamers,
mm-hmm.
which is more prevalent nowadays, it's like, odds are you have multiple consoles in your house.
Yeah.
You have a few handhelds, you have some old ones, you have some new ones. Like, you have, you know, an Xbox One and a PS4, or
yeah.
you have a PS4 and a Switch. And so it's, like, muddles the waters a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
For gaming mascots, especially.
It does, and I feel like it was easier back in the 90s, because at the same time, too, no knock on our parents, but they saw a cute little hedgehog, a little blue critter, and they're like, oh, that's so cute, I'm going to get my kids this game or system, they're going to love it. Or they see a little, the Mario dude, and they're like, or the adventure with it, and they're like, oh, this is so cool, you know, my kids are going to love it, vice versa. And that's what's...
Or, like, a lot of advertising in the 90s, too, was, and it is, to some extent nowadays, geared the same way, but it was geared towards kids.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, like, little kids, whether they knew it or not, were, like...
being slightly brainwashed.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Blames!
Oh, I absolutely, you know... I know as a little kid, the reason that I even had a Sega Genesis
mm-hmm.
and was a Sega kid is because for whatever reason, and it was probably through advertising in the 90s, like, I thought Sega was the cool console. Like, oh.
Little did you know.
Yeah, I was like, anyway, you know, what everybody else had. Everybody else had an NES and a Super Nintendo and stuff like that. And it was like, you had Mario. I was like, I wanted that, like,
cool,
fast blue hedgehog. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to play Sonic the Hedgehog. And, like, I begged and begged to get a Sega Genesis. And my mom... I was like, no. They're too expensive. We don't have enough money.
We don't need one.
And then, on my birthday, I got a Sega Genesis when I was, like, 5 years old.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, I was two.
Yeah, it would have been, like, 93.
Yeah,
so
I was about two.
November 5th of 93, I got a Sega Genesis. And I was like, it blew my mind. I was ecstatic. It was the first console I ever had that was mine, and I finally got to play.
Blew your baby mind.
It did.
Yeah.
I got to play Sonic the Hedgehog, so I was very excited. But that's how I felt. I remember thinking about that even like years afterwards. That it was like, I wanted the cool console. Like,
and
it was jet black, and it was like, it looked different than the Nintendo ones.
Yeah.
And you got to play Sonic the Hedgehog. So.
And like mine was Pokemon Odyssey that got me a Nintendo, not Link. Like, for granted, I love Zelda. The games, and
I think that could be considered definitely a gaming mascot,
and I think so too, because Pokemon, I was
especially the starters
a little,
and stuff
yeah
really
I was
popular.
A little kid, and I love freaking, they're so cute, and they look at the little fuzzy Pokemon, look like animals, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
And so when I realized, oh, they're actually a Nintendo game, like the Game Boys, I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, I think it's more indicative of, like, that handheld market that, mm-hmm. that Nintendo has notoriously dominated.
Oh, yeah, they still do.
I think that would be a good advocate, even of the time up mm-hmm. to now, to say that, like, you know, the original starter Pokemon
was card games.
Yeah, it would be, like, a perfect gaming mascot, whether it be, you know, Pikachu or, you know, Charizard or, you know, something along those lines. Bulbasaur, like, it would be...
The original starters.
Yeah, it would be perfect.
I did have to... This is a completely side note, and I'll have to agree with this. My friend at work and I were talking about Pokemon, because she says, like, her husband plays Pokemon Go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another handheld version.
Yeah.
And that... We both agree that the original Pokemons are the Pokemons, not the shit they're coming out with now.
Yeah, I think that's just definitely, like, an age thing.
I think so, too. Like, yeah.
I was there in the beginning.
I was there when it started.
Yeah.
There was only 130.
Exactly.
Why are there so many more? And why does one look like a toilet? It makes no sense. You have a cat biting your finger.
There's games like that, too. Like, Sonic the Hedgehog is, like, a good example. Like, for me, Sonic the Hedgehog is...
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Sonic 2, but Sonic 1, 2, and Sonic and Knuckles. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
But there's kids, like, even my little brother included, where they played, you know, there was like a 2008 game called Sonic the Hedgehog. Like,
yeah.
That was his favorite, and, like, how he got into it. So that's Sonic the Hedgehog for him, and the other ones are, like, almost unplayable to him.
Yeah. Oh.
And for me, it was like, well, fuck, I was there on the ground floor, 5 years old, Sonic the Hedgehog, you don't know crap. Because he's 15 years younger than me.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, yeah. And it's wireless controllers, bitch, you got it made. I'm going to sit on the floor, I'm up on a Nintendo Man, yeah. My Zelda game.
You were fucking negative 10 when I was jamming on that shit. Like, you don't know crap.
You were still swimming in the Tesla.
Yeah. What have you created yet?
You don't even know. But it's like, the funny part is, like, for me, it's like, was the handheld version, and then I got you to play the original Pokemon, too, because I'm like, you're like, what's the best one to start with? I'm like, it's either red, blue, gold, one of those.
I went red, because it's my favorite color.
Makes sense. I mean,
and Charizard is my favorite now that I played him. And yeah, those are just brilliant RPGs. They're great.
You're a horrible Pokemon master.
Sacrifice them all except for Charizard.
You do.
Charizard's
you're
the champion.
You're terrible.
Kind of like when John was talking the other night about, like, you can just run through with this, like, one, that's all you need. I was like, man, Charizard will fucking kick you. Goddamn Pokemon. Yeah. You know, shit.
I
beat it with just Charizard, so fuck you.
I cheated, so it's all good. There's always a way to cheat. But that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, nowadays, it's not, besides maybe... There's so many generations of games out. There's so many games out and so many different types of the same game out.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard to picture us that mascot with this game. It may be that mascot of the year or a game of the year because it's an exclusive. But at the same time, it makes it hard to think, when you say this name, what you don't necessarily think of the thing anymore. You just think of the of which version it is.
Yeah, I mean, it does make it difficult. I think it's easy to say that Mario and Sonic the Hedgehog really defined that kind of, like, culture, or not culture, but console war and, mm-hmm. like, the gaming mascot because of the gaming culture at the time.
I think so, too.
I think it started to get a little bit, like, muddy or kind of blurred when we got into 3D gaming and 3D platformers.
Yeah.
I think you could easily say that, like, Sony coming into the fray in mm-hmm. the 90s with the PS1, Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, was a good. That's a good example, too.
It was a platformer.
Yeah.
He fit the bill. You know, you got, like, an anthropomorphized, like, animal, a bandicoot. And...
Are you doing bandicoot things?
Yep. Kind of. not really, but... was Sony's
what is a
mascot.
Is that an actual...
Yeah.
What is it?
It's kind of like an echidna.
I don't know what the fuck that is either. Never mind.
There's Knuckles and Sonic. But...
Oh, okay.
I think a bandicoot's like a weasel.
Oh, okay. A weasel type.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
And echidna doesn't look anything like Knuckles from Sonic.
Well, can't.
Knuckles,
no shit.
But an echidna's an animal as well.
They're so. Just
but
inspired is all.
But, And then that'd be...
Nintendo 64 era, so I think Mario's still kind of right.
Mario's still, yeah. You can try to say Link or Zelda, because they're kind of neck and neck at that generation, so.
Yeah, I still think even then, though, like, the Mario. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I think on the Switch, you can definitely say Zelda's kind of taken over.
Yeah, getting to newer generations, I honestly think it's, like, the re-rise of the gaming mascot. And I think that is in part to the strong first-party lineup of each of the consoles.
You think so?
I think so. I don't think it'll be labeled specifically as such.
Mascots, no.
Just because I think that terminology and that like mindset is kind of from a bygone era.
Yeah.
It's from the 90s. Yeah. And I don't think that'll ever really return. I think it's definitely prevalent in older gamers' minds.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's something that younger generations or younger gamers
are gonna latch on to
and bring back. Like, and specifically call that. I think you can make a very solid claim, though, that Link, more than Mario now, is Nintendo's mascot.
Yeah.
Especially with the Switch. And I think it'll honestly continue forward for quite a while.
I think so, too.
I think both those games, like their newest ones, Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, did exceedingly well review-wise and, you know, critical acclaim up the wazoo. But so I feel like the fan base for Zelda is, like, more rabid and more popular. I'd be curious to look at even, like, sales figures
to see
between Breath of the Wild and Odyssey. But I would put good money that Link is probably more
prevalent now.
Yeah. Than
been Mario. Back in, like, the 90s.
Yeah, and I think it was vice versa.
Yeah.
I think Link was definitely a close second. Zelda was a close second back then. Even with, you know, you're talking about, like, the best of the best with, like, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But
You get that too. It's like when you think of handhelds, the same concept as you think of handhelds. It's for Nintendo. You think Pokemon.
Yeah, because it's been, you know, save for the Switch ones. The Switch ones are going to be the first one.
Yeah, on the only one ever had an actual Pokemon games were the handhelds.
Okay, and you can say that the Switch is really just a fancy handheld, anyways.
Yeah, you can. You get away with that aspect. So it just makes it interesting to see. Like you're saying, it's not necessarily the death of it, because like we were talking about, there's so many generations of consoles, so it is. It's not like...
Yeah, I think it got muddied in the middle there, and you could say that there was like a near-death experience of the...
I saw the light!
Yeah, of the mascot. Because once you start getting into... Like Xbox and PS2 and GameCube generation.
Oh, the cube.
I think it was a little bit more...
It wasn't a cube.
...difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, I think, like, we were maturing and becoming teenagers.
Yeah.
And we're really the first kind of, like, generation, like, completely entranced in gaming. So, it was like, you know, for, like... PS2, like, gamers at that time, you know, would it be Jack and Daxter? Or taking up that kind of, like, pedigree from Crash Bandicoot and Naughty Dog?
True.
Because Crash Bandicoot was created to be a mascot for Sony.
Well, that makes sense.
And then Crash Bandicoot finished, then we get Jack and Daxter. So was it Jack and Daxter, or was it, you know, Sony Santa Monica's Kratos? Were we old enough for that then at that time where, you know, you could have a dark and gritty anti-hero that was leading his own franchise and stuff and did very well critically and sales-wise?
Well, you also have to think, too, that, you know, another thing that makes it come to mind besides the up-and-coming new generations and then the rebirth, a sense of, you know, the mascot is the fact that you have the cross-platform, the cross-play games. Like, we're not...
Which is true.
Not exclusives.
Yeah, there was definitely more of a focus on the, you know, first-party side to it. And I think there's, like, a deep root for gaming mascots and the genre platformers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, platformers and mascots. Like, that Sonic the Hedgehog and Mario were platformers.
Yeah.
So, and Crash Bandicoot as well. There were platformers. Mm-hmm. And I think we started to stray into, like, new genres, which kind of muddied the water. Like, can you have a gaming mascot that's a first-person shooter?
Yeah, that does make a difference.
Or a gory action adventure game. Like, you know, does that still, like, fall within that definition? Like, mm-hmm. you know, can you have Kratos be
the dark
mascot? Because he's not a platformer. Can you have Master Chief be Xbox's, you know, mascot, even Ooh. Though it's a sci-fi shooter?
That's true.
You know, and then, but Nintendo then retains Mario, and it's still a platforming game, you know, and Sega doesn't exist anymore. So it's like, you don't have that rival between Sonic and Mario, so that it's like, is it as relevant? Like, because why would you have Master Chief versus
Mario?
Like, it seems a little silly, you know, if you put it that way. Or Kratos versus Master Chief and Mario. Like, that PR kind of rivalry, it's a lot different because they're different genres games and they're way different characters. Yeah. And it's like,
you get a wider spread. And
yeah, you can maybe picture Master Chief versus Kratos. It's like, that's kind of interesting, like, if you just ponder it. But it's like,
not Kratos versus Mario.
Yeah, Kratos versus Mario. It's like, oh my god, Mario's just been gutted. Like, oh Jesus. Like, or he's been, you know, vaporized by Master Chief. Like, it's harder, I think, from a PR standpoint to try to make those comparisons. And then also those companies were evolving and becoming more mature, trying to with their audience.
Yeah.
Like, they have a wider demographic to sell games.
They're trying to grow up with their audience because we're not kids anymore. Now we're these angsty teens. What's going to capture the angsty teen?
Exactly. And then if you were talking about, you know, development times of games now becoming longer and longer and longer and more and more expensive just because the hardware is getting better, they also have to think about in the same breath, you know, that 17-year-old angsty teen is going to be 21 four years from now when this game's done.
Yeah.
What is that 21-year-old going to enjoy?
Liquor and boobies.
Yes, I mean, exactly. And then also, now there's another generation behind them. They also have kids that are playing games as well. So now they have to diversify, you know, their portfolio. They have to do different types of games, different genres of games. And then now that the gaming mascot is not representing gamers almost in their entirety, it's at best representing only half, you know, a generation of gamers. And what do you pick? Do you pick the older, you know, maturing generation, or do you pick, you know, kids that are getting into it like that you would have in the 90s, you know?
Because
so that kind of splits the difference too.
Yeah, and it feels like with the split difference, it makes it harder to just to have that one mascot.
He never freaks out. That's insane. Our ancient Maine Coon, who's like 10 years old, is like playing and racing around the house.
With our 3-month-old kitten.
Yeah, and he just never... I mean, he plays. He's like very healthy and spry, but he's a lazy old cat. Like, he doesn't really play.
Oh, man, that's great.
He's being a goofball. He's like, he's on the counters, which he's not supposed to be. He's getting into everything.
Yeah, sounds about right.
What a dork.
Anyways... But it's hard. It makes it hard to deal with, you know, the idea of a mascot due to the fact that there are so many different platforms now, so many different generations mixed in there. What do you capture? What's important?
That's why I think Nintendo personally has done so well. And maybe that's where I see that, like, division a little bit with the Switch, is that older gamers are gravitating more towards Link, but maybe younger gamers are still gravitating more towards Mario.
True.
Because their parents are buying them Mario games, you know,
rather
than this open world, more mature version of Link that's darker, you know.
And that makes sense, too, because like you said, it's like they're marketing towards a different generation, and what's going to do that? It's going to be like a more mature Link, where Mario's always a platformer.
It's Mario,
It's Mario.
There's always a kind of a certain, like, innocent, like, charm to Mario when there necessarily doesn't have to be for Link.
We know the truth. Mario's not innocent.
It's me, Mario. I kill everybody.
Everybody's dead. But, you know, it does make it interesting to see the development. Not necessarily the death of it. Because, especially when the second generations came out of consoles, there was definitely a death. A brief moment of flatlining in the mascots.
Yeah, I think especially with... Like, when you get into, like, the kind of mixed or half generations with, like, the Wii U, and now the Switch, it's more difficult to kind of line them up with the other consoles. So,
yeah.
And Mario and Link have really, like, carried through.
Yeah.
And always been strong contenders. However, Sony and Microsoft, I think, are dealing with not necessarily a problem. It's probably not something they really, like, focus on because those kind of, like, business rivalries... exists in some sense.
They always do, yeah.
You know, as far as, like, finances, it was probably more so. Like, how much
you're going to always get someone selling. Who thinks Kratos is a PlayStation mascot.
Yeah, and I think that Microsoft now is probably dealing with a shortage of first-party games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you really kind of boils down to probably just Master Chief.
Yeah.
They do have Gears of War, but in the newest Gears of War, Marcus Fenix is not really the lead. He's in it, but he's not the focus on it. I think you could say that Marcus Fenix would probably embody definitely like the, you know, 360,
mm-hmm.
and Master Chief was like the, you know, the OG Xbox.
Yeah.
Just because of the popularity of those franchises at those times. And with Sony, I would say that Nathan Drake from the Uncharted series really embodied what the PS3 was.
Yeah.
And kind of had its, you know, uptick with Uncharted 4 and then Lost Legacy, you know, in the PS4 lifecycle. But I don't think it necessarily would be now. I don't think that.
No, not now. Well, like I was saying, too, you get the generations, and I think it's more along the lines of, say, what's the mascot of the year, not the mascot of the cycle of the system? If that makes any sense, because it's like...
Well, that's kind of what I was, like, getting to, is that Microsoft doesn't have, like, a ton of first-party games, so it kind of boils down to just one.
Yeah.
And Master Chief. But with Sony, especially with the success of the PS4 and their first-party studios, I mean, just this generation, we had Uncharted 4 with Nathan Drake.
Aloy.
We had, Aloy with Horizon Zero Dawn, which did exceedingly well. We had one of my personal favorites, Days Gone, with Deacon St. John.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the rebirth of God of War with Kratos still.
Exactly.
So it's like, we have, you know, just in that list, four very strong contenders that embody Sony in a very different way.
Yep, they do.
So, you know, which one would it be?
Yeah, exactly.
It probably depends on who you talk to. Because they...
Well, then it changes, too, because they come out not necessarily at the same time, the same year, and it's like...
Yeah, if you just, like, are talking about, like, you know, this just this past year, it's like, you'd probably say Deacon St. John.
Exactly, and then...
That was Sony's big first-party game this year.
The year prior was Kratos, God of War. It could have been Kratos.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
then,
you probably had Aloy. Yeah,
and
I mean,
then Uncharted. That's what I mean. It's not necessarily the death of a mascot, like you're saying. It's just the... I don't want to say recycling of a mascot.
But
it changes every year.
Sony is the only one dealing with that.
Yeah.
I think that's the only reason that makes it difficult.
But if you think about it too, though, you're still always going to get those people who are Nintendo people, who are Xbox people, who are PlayStation people. They're not going to always have, like you and I have, four or five different systems in our house that are the same generation. Due to the fact that, you know, some people are just label whores and they like this specific specific...
I think that worry is becoming less and less of a concern. I think there's a lot less, like, fanboyism about certain consoles or companies. I think people have their, like, favorites, but...
Yeah, that's true.
I see it a lot less. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I see it a lot less than I did, like...
No, I'm saying there was... At one point, there was that, where it's like, you know, oh, I'm just Sony, I'm this, and...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There definitely was. Mm-hmm. Especially, like... OG Xbox and 360 days, and then you talk about PS2 and PS3, especially that 360 PS3 generation. That really,
got really amped up.
Like probably even more so, or on par with like the 90s rivalry between like Nintendo and Sega.
Sega.
And then you know PlayStation coming in really hot in the 90s too, like.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah, the PS2 or the 360 and PS3 like. That was definitely an interesting one.
Yeah.
They're totally different consoles. It was the second console by Microsoft, so there was a lot of, like, high expectations there, and Sony started off real, real slow.
Yeah, well, yes, and then Sony, like, changed it up so much that, you know, it made it difficult for the PlayStation 3 to kind of, forget it was the best-selling one, but kind of put a cock hole.
Yeah, it was the best-selling one by the end. I mean, it wasn't like... And it was not by even leaps and bounds. Like, you look up sales figures of it, you're talking about, like, 80 million units sold compared to, like, 83 million units.
Yeah,
85 versus 88 or something like that. Either, it's, like, a very slim margin. It's surprising to most people.
Mm-hmm.
that's how it ended up. But the 360 was a powerhouse during that generation. I mean, it bested the PS3, and I didn't. I had a 360 briefly. I primarily had a PS3, but even I could say, like, living through that generation and like, playing the PS3, that it took a long while before they started, you know, giving us Uncharted and, you know, God of War 3 and, you know, some of these, like, now, like, classics, you know. It took a bit.
Yeah, it did.
You get The Last of Us, you know, at the end of that generation and stuff like that.
That is true. So tell me, what's your favorite mascot that you remember?
I would definitely say Sonic the Hedgehog still. It's just very classic to me. It's just, it reminds me of the silly rivalries of, like, the 90s that were, I'm sure, fabricated for PR, but...
Oh, yeah.
I love Sonic. He was great.
Oh, Sonic.
Had so many shitty games since, which really sucks. It's one of those ones that just has it.
She just left it when it was good.
Yeah, because it's, like, the only good Sonic games after the original trilogy are... you get, like, Sonic Adventure.
Yeah.
And then Sonic Mania, which was made by fans, not by Sega.
And the Sonic cartoon.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I remember watching that one, too. That was a good one.
But yeah, that is just more, like, nostalgic for me. I would say behind that, the more modern ones, as I became, like, a more, like, serious or, like, involved gamer, it would definitely be Kratos.
Yeah.
And then Nathan Drake.
Those are good ones.
Yeah. I think it's, a like we were just talking about, a little more difficult to pick, you know, like David St. John or Aloy or something like
that. Yeah, those are good games, but...
I feel like Kratos has had such, like, a hold for such a long time. This, you know, the original three God of Wars are brilliant. The reboot's brilliant. It also embodied, like, when you were talking about characters, you know, mascotting, like, handhelds and stuff.
Yeah.
The PSP God of Wars were great as well, and Kratos helmed those.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, I think... And they had, like, limited edition... Kratos, like, PSPs or God of War PSPs.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think he was very indicative for a lot of different consoles for a very long time. It wasn't a pick of the week. And then Uncharted, same kind of thing. Uncharted really made the PS3.
Yeah.
And then we got to see kind of, like, a very awesome conclusion with Uncharted 4 and then a cool spinoff after that.
They didn't just make fun of itself because it had Crash Bandicoot in it.
Yeah, Naughty Dog was making fun of themselves. Yeah, he's playing Crash Bandicoot.
And then... The kid was playing Crash Bandicoot, too, which is funny.
Yeah, and I really like Crash Bandicoot. That was a good mascot as well, but one where I was a little all over the place with it as far as, like, playing it and stuff, or my love of it. Like, there were certain ones I really, really liked, and then, like, the first one is, like, notoriously difficult, kind of, eh. Second one's great, though. So it's, like, it's a little over the place. And they came out kind of back-to-back-to-back, so it was really only, like, PS1.
Yeah, that's
But true. That's how I would probably rank it. Like Sonic the Hedgehog, Kratos, and then Nathan Drake from Uncharted.
Our dog's like, I'm not doing nothing. I'm Dog of War lazying it right now.
What about you?
I think mine is Pokemon, honestly. Like, I know Link is in there too, but for handheld, like we're talking handheld, it's going to be Pokemon. Because, like, honestly, it's going to be very dumb for me to say. I didn't realize Nintendo made Game Boys. I just thought Game Boys was...
Oh, that there was a separate company onto itself.
Yeah. Game Boys were just Game Boys, not Nintendo's.
Nintendo has been
doing its own
famously
thing.
Had a stranglehold on the handheld market because since the Game Boy.
Like, it still does. Like, I'm not.
There aren't really.
There's nothing else out there that has handheld speed besides.
Yes, Sony was the only one that ever even came close.
It tried, and then the Vita died.
Oh, like, the Vita did die, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the PSP was hugely popular.
But then again, that was easily hackable.
But then, it was, yeah. And then you get to, you know, the 3DS and the Vita, and it was, you just fucking died. And the 3DS then the Switch came out.
I got this. And then now the Switch Lite.
Yeah.
There's nothing else handheld coming out besides Switch Lite.
No, I mean, there's always light rumors of Sony getting back into that, you know.
Oh, I doubt it.
Patents and stuff like that. I think they're more focused on VR.
The PlayStation and...
Flagship console, yeah.
Yeah. But still, anyway, so Nintendo, so like I said, that's going to sound stupid, but the Game Boy, so Pokemon.
Yep.
For me. And then, I know I said Mario comes to mind when it comes to Nintendo, but I liked Zelda, Link. So,
and I think a lot of people, especially our age or our generation, would agree.
And let's see, for me, for PlayStation, because I didn't play Sega. I'm trying to think, PlayStation, Kratos, definitely Kratos.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around since PS2.
That's so what I mean.
Kratos all the way to the PS4. So it's like PS2, PS3, PS4, mm-hmm. PSP.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then they had remasters of stuff on all those consoles and the Vita.
Yep.
So.
And honestly, I think... that's it for me, honestly. I mean, there's other, like, little ones sprinkled in there, because, like, I liked, you know, Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn and all that, but then
Aloy's great.
But then again, it's just, I like Kratos way better, and...
Yeah.
You know, that's just, like, one that's kind of stuck in my mind, because it's had so many just been on all the platforms.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely long-running now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was, like, 2005 when the first God of War came mm-hmm. out. So, I mean, you're talking 14, almost 15 years worth of games. Jesus,
yeah. Oh, half our lifetime right there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, like, I remember when the first God of War came out. Like,
how and then that's when we're getting old enough to be in the dark, angsty teen era and...
Oh, yeah, and I played that game as a teenager, mm-hmm. so I was like, this is fucking badass. Yeah. Like, it was just cool. Like, that's all you're kind of worried about. I think a lot of people felt the same way who played the Xbox at that time. Mm-hmm. It was like, they were playing Halo with their friends and stuff and doing LAN parties. It was like, Master Chief is fucking badass. Yeah, like, yeah, they, yeah. You know, they felt the same kind of way that I did
with
playing God of War on the PS2, you know.
So that makes me kind of think, though, is like, are Xbox players jealous because they don't get really cool mascots?
I don't know. It's so weird because it's like... Because I think one part that's really important about gaming mascots is that rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Microsoft has been, like, trending...
Yeah.
...in the last, like, couple years or few years has definitely been getting their software on as many platforms as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is true. Gaming companies... dominantly, like, make their money off of software, not their hardware, not their console.
No, they make it off of the updates and...
So it's like, if Master Chief is on everything, then they don't care, they're making money. Like, and mm-hmm. so then, does it really... Are they really, like, that deep of a rival with, like, Sony?
Yeah.
Because it's like, those two are directly compared all the time.
But he's on all the platforms.
Yeah, and then Sony's like the exact opposite. Like, they're doubling down on first-party studios and games, and they don't want to put their exclusives on everything. They want you to buy the PlayStation 4 to play.
Ooh, another one comes into mind.
Your Bloodborne.
Yeah, Bloodborne, I was going to say. It just popped up in my head. That's
Uncharted, your Last of Us, your Horizon Zero Dawns, your Death Strandings, your Days Gone. Like, that's a ridiculous mm-hmm. stable of first-party, like, narrative games.
That's just a small handful of
That's just a generation.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't include other things that they've done prior.
Isn't the Devil May Cry on PlayStation 2?
No, they had, I think, some Sony, like, perks. Sometimes they'll do that. But no, that's by Capcom, and that is multi-console.
Son of a bitch.
That's crossplay, yeah.
God damn it.
You can get that on the Xbox One. And...
assholes. How dare they? But I'm just saying in general.
The older ones now are on the Switch.
Hell yeah, that's right. Yeah. I guess I said that answer my own question. But yeah, so it's like, then again, it's like that. It's like, who's going to do the powerhouse when Sony's got so many exclusives? For granted, like, Nintendo's only fucking nine.
Yeah, Nintendo has a lot of exclusives too, but I really wouldn't consider Sony and Nintendo rivals. Like,
no, not in the slightest.
They're like a half generation off now, console-wise.
Sony's got his own shit going, like.
And the Switch is a much different console than the PlayStation 4 or even the Xbox One.
I just think...
So it's kind of like... You can't even really directly compare those two very well.
No, honestly, I think it's like, at this point, it's, you know, Microsoft versus Sony.
Yeah, because their consoles are very similar. Their ecosystems are similar.
Yeah, gaming is similar.
They release consoles.
Nintendo just
kind of
like hanging out on the left-hand corner, just sipping some tea saying, you got it, bitches.
Yeah, which really since the Sega days, along with... maybe the N64 and PS1.
Mm-hmm.
There really has not been, like, a direct rival of Nintendo, because they've always just kind of gone by the beat of their own drum. Like,
yeah, they've just...
They put out interesting, like, tech
They're like, we're just going to do our own shit.
Yeah, they have never like really been concerned Wii. With being a powerhouse.
Yeah, like. No, like, the Wii itself is, like, its own unique gaming system compared to, like, even the PlayStation of the generation. It's, like...
Well, yeah, and then even in response, like, that's a good example. Microsoft and Sony both released motion controls after the Wii came out. Because the Wii was so successful. It sold 100, you know, million-plus units and dominated everything during that generation. Yeah,
after the Wii came out, though.
Yeah, and then Sony quickly put out the PlayStation Move, which was their version of motion controls. And then Microsoft had the Kinect and went in even a little further by integrating that into their user interface of their consoles.
Yeah, but if you think about it now...
And now Sony uses that tech for PlayStation VR.
That's what I mean. It's like...
Yeah, all because of the Wii. And because of how well it did. Mm. They played catch-up, like... Because it did really well, like, which is funny, but it wasn't like Nintendo was responding to Sony and Microsoft and some innovative tech that they put out.
No,
it was like the other two that directly compete with each other were trying to play catch up
with Nintendo,
and it had nothing to do with hardware.
No, not the slightest.
It was just motion controls,
which is hilarious. But then again, it's like, you know, I mean, they all have their own powerhouse, and Nintendo is like, haha, bitches, you know.
But on the flip side of the coin, Nintendo is really lacking in, like, an online infrastructure.
Yes, they do lack that. Like, their online is very meh. But at the same time, I feel like if they put their money where their mouth is when it comes to that, if they really not fought hard or put effort towards it, it wouldn't take them too long to be like...
No, they could, if they wanted to.
I think they don't want to, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
They like the idea of still being so unique and different, like the handheld version or, you know, the Wii or whatever, or the Switch even, where it's like a port system, and it just makes it so different. And I think they like being the different ones.
Yeah. Well, it removes any sort of competition, which is smart.
Yeah, they're like, are you going to fucking compete with me? I literally have, like, a little docking system to make me either a console or a handheld. What the fuck you got?
Yeah, exactly. But it's been, like, there was corresponding articles, but Corey Barlog, who did the reboot of God of War, was talking about the magic behind the studio that ported The Witcher 3 over to the Switch.
Yeah.
Because, like, the hardware's not there. It's not a powerhouse. But they managed to jam this gigantic game into a little teeny cartridge and play it on the Switch. And it was like...
Bitty cartridge.
And that kind of shows, too, like, the lack of rivalry. You have this...
Powerhouse. Of, like, a kind of a game.
Yeah. Well, I just meant you have, like, this very... kind of larger-than-life, like, creator, like, game director, Corey Barlog. He's been around for ages.
Yeah.
He works for a Sony first-party studio, praising another studio that's third-party about, technically, what would be, you know, 25 years ago, a rival console.
Exactly.
And that he's playing the Switch and playing The Witcher 3 on the Switch and his reaction to it and about how they did a great job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that kind of stuff wouldn't have happened, you know, during, you know, the Genesis and Super Nintendo
games. Oh, God, like, no. I feel like back then it was easier to have your own console, your own games, and then assign a mascot in that sense of the word.
Yeah. Like I said, I think a lot of it was just PR behind it. Mm-hmm. You have marketing directors pushing it and creating that and like...
But now you got the multi-platformer games where they can be on either Xbox, Nintendo.
Yeah.
And it just makes it harder to have that mascot. Yeah, you're going to have your golden age ones or the generation ones or the year ones even, but it's not... Sonic is with... the Sega, or, you know, Mario's with Nintendo, or, you know...
Yeah.
PlayStation has Crash Bandicoot anymore.
Well, and I think Nintendo, too, because it's just kind of done its own thing for so long and been unique, and carried forward Mario and Link, and they've done so well, that... that's why they're the only ones that have done it.
Yep, that's the only ones that are still doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're.
The other ones are just evolving and changing and trying to keep up their audiences. And Nintendo's like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Like, you know.
They listen to their fans, but at the same time, they're like, meh, we're going to do our own shit.
It's like they did like a dark version of Mario where he was killing aliens. Like, I mean, they just didn't do that. Like, you make it your darker version of Zelda.
But at the same time, if they we want a fucking dark
but
game.
But it's not over the top.
No. But mean, they're like, if you
Link's
wanna,
not slaughtering people like. Eh. Kratos was with the Greek gods, you know?
Yeah, but if you want that dark game, they have that port of it.
Well, but those are first party games. Like, you'd never find God of War on a Switch.
I think they have it on the Switch now.
You don't have it on the Switch now.
You know what? They have Doom.
Yeah, but that's third party.
You know what I mean. Oh my God. I'm going to smother you the pillow. I'm saying that
they do have good third-party support now, where they do have darker games on there.
Yeah,
I was just talking about their first-party games.
I think when you think of Nintendo, too, I just in my head, I don't know about you, I get this little bubbly image of like a very happy smiley gold face bouncing around with confetti.
It's definitely has been labeled in years past as like the kids' console.
Well, even then, like it's just I don't know why that pops every time I think of Nintendo. It's just a really happy smiley face, and then confetti. All around it. and then when you get like Nintendo, it's like, or I meant the PlayStation, it's like God of War standing over a corpse or something.
Yeah, definitely darker, like for sure. Microsoft
you
and
the,
Sony.
You can like look at the colors of the consoles too. It's like Nintendo's always so colorful.
Oh yeah.
Like for sure. Like you get skins and stuff for the Nintendo or for the Sonys and whatnots, but it's like.
Yeah, they do some, like, limited edition.
You get, consoles, maybe the Xboxes do white. Ooh, cool. But Nintendo's like, ooh, I'm pretty and bright and colorful. And ah, ha, ha.
Microsoft and Sony definitely go for, like, clean, modern, like, make sure it looks, like, cool and high-tech. And
whatever. Like, fine, don't be bubbly and cute and have confetti blown out your ass.
Nintendo's very much like, here's our pastel Joy-Cons, and we have a little dock. Yeah. Although their hardware does actually look like pretty like sleek now.
It does, yeah. Like comparatively.
Especially like in the handheld mode when you have the Switch.
Well, if you like look at the Wii that we have right now, that's black. That's slick as fuck.
Yeah, and that looks really cool. Mm-hmm. You like, see some of the older consoles.
I think Wii came out colorfuls. Didn't they have colored Wiis too? Like red?
There was a red Mario one for sure.
That's a conversation for a different time.
Yeah,
I think
there was other limited edition
ones and like
that were colorful, like mm-hmm. And Sony does the same thing. They've had like different
the days or not days gone, but
there's Death Stranding,
Uncharted with that pretty steel blue one. And
yeah, they've done that too. Usually, mm-hmm. As generations go,
they always have an exclusive
on. Yeah, when they have a big exclusive come out, they'll do like a special bundle where you can get, you know, oh, here's a gold PS4 with Uncharted 4 and a matching controller or something.
Yeah, something along those lines. But still, I feel like the mascot's not dead. He's coming back, but in his own way.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever be labeled as such, so you could make the claim that it is dead just because that term will be used, but I think that there are characters that are definitely, like,
mascot
embodiments
worthy,
of
those
consoles or those companies.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
And I would say that Kratos still has Sony. Even though there's so many good other...
There are good other ones, but...
Characters.
Kratos definitely, for sure.
I think with Uncharted kind of wound down. I think it filled the void when there really wasn't a God of War
game. Yeah, but it ended.
They weren't doing as well, but it's kind of finished.
Yeah.
So, I think Nathan Drake had it.
Mm-hmm.
Had his place.
You did.
For when Kratos couldn't be there.
Yeah, and then
God of War's back. But I think it's back, and we know we're going to get another one, and so I think... Kratos definitely embodies what Sony is still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Master Chief does.
Still with Xbox.
For Xbox. Halo games seem to do really well. And
Mario and Link Switch.
Gears of War is kind of like trying to switch stuff up and do different things. And I think Marcus Fenix is a really cool character, mm-hmm. but more represented with a 360 was probably than anything.
Yeah. I think so too.
And then Nintendo, I would say, has switched from Mario to Link.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Fans of Zelda are more, at least more vocal.
Yeah.
But more engaging over
mm-hmm.
Zelda than Mario.
Yep, I think so too.
So, it's like, I think they still have their respective mascots, and I think they will continue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those ones that I kind of listed for a while. I think people are very excited about, you know, a new Halo. And
oh, yeah.
People are very excited about a new Zelda, and then people are very excited about a new God of War.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And there's and all of which have, and maybe that's more indicative of what the gaming mascot is now,
mm-hmm.
and that differentiates what it was before,
mm-hmm.
is that all of those characters and, like, franchises now have a legacy.
Yeah.
They have a foothold in the newer generations.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't always been around.
No.
Link has. He's the only one, but we just discussed how Nintendo's always just kind of done their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Link has taken the mantle probably a bit from Mario, but I think now we're getting, like, you know, Halo's an aged franchise now.
Yeah.
There's been a ton of them and spinoffs. Yeah. And it's spanned, you know, three generations mm-hmm. of consoles, and same with God of War. God of War has spanned three generations worth of consoles and has, you know, had
more,
a soft
yeah.
reboot, and, you know, in order to give it more room to breathe mm-hmm. and expand. So I think legacy is important here.
Yeah, I think it's turned from mascots to legacy now.
And I think that's why I probably wouldn't say, you know, Aloy right now or Deacon St. John.
Because
right
they
now.
Only have one game.
Yeah, they just came out. They don't.
They,
know,
don't
they might embody what's to come.
They could, yeah. That change that will be.
You know, if you start getting, you know, a few more Horizon Zero Dawn games in there,
mm-hmm.
a few more Days Gone games in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like it very
and
well.
And generations as well.
You
of
know,
consoles.
Yeah, God of War could start to, you know,
peter
on out again, and then
mm-hmm.
Aloy could easily kind of take that mantle, or, you know, maybe Microsoft introduces a new first-party game, or, like, re-kind
mm-hmm.
of invigorates Gears of War, and it's Marcus Fenix again or something.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's a good way to put it. It's not a death of a mascot, it's just, it's generational now, and makes it to where, you know, they have that background and that history and that, you know, exclusiveness.
Yeah. And these characters, too, are also evolving, which is really cool, because I think having just a platformer mascot,
mm-hmm.
Mario doesn't ever change or evolve.
No.
As
and
a character.
Like, Link did.
Yeah, and Link does, like, and it has. Like,
mm-hmm.
we've seen so many different portrayals of Link, but especially with the newest one, it's like, he has changed.
Yep.
Like, he has evolved as a character, and,
mm-hmm.
like, his stories have kind of followed suit. Kratos of God of War has changed. He
and
has evolved.
Up, yep.
You know, that was the big complaint, is that he was a very flat character in his original trilogy. But with the new one, you can see that he has grown and changed.
Mm-hmm.
Master Chief has as well, and there's been more characterization given to him
mm-hmm.
rather than the silent protagonist. So it's like, as these characters are growing as well, they are representing, like, each generation
yeah.
with the evolutions of their characters that a lot of mascots just can't, like,
no.
from back in the day.
No, yep.
Like, you know, Mario doesn't ever change.
Nope,
Sonic never changes.
From.
Like,
nope, he just chases the little coins.
Yeah, exactly. It's always, you know, a funny or goofily designed kind of character,
mm-hmm.
like saving the princess and she's in another castle, or defeating Dr. Robotnik and... You know, it's a very classic kind of hero-villain tale, and that's
yeah.
it, per game.
It is.
They tried to make Sonic dark, but that was the dark time of Sonic games. Hopefully we get more fan-made Sonic games, and then
oh,
he can stay
God.
Somewhat relevant.
That'd be hilarious. All right, well.
And then, like, Shadow the Hedgehog and things like that.
Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah, it was, I love it. But,
that's
yeah.
funny.
Just
no, it is true. It's true, and then think of it that way. It's very good point that it's not. It's evolved, and it makes sense to evolve and grow. Things evolve and grow. It's just weird to think when we were kids, you know, it is what it used to be, and now, like, kids grow up with the fact that it's not.
Oh yeah, that's why I think it was, like, in the beginning of this podcast we talked about. Like, generations of gamers, or
mm-hmm.
multiple generations of gamers playing games at the same time. It's like, I think it is very difficult to, you know, focus on just one.
It is.
Because it's like, you're already, if you do that, then you're already, like, having or quartering, like, your demographic and base,
mm-hmm.
if you just, and then you're ignoring the rest. But it's like, well, gamers of all ages enjoy all sorts of different games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with the rise of, like, competitive esports and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, think about that group of people.
Yeah.
What do they enjoy? What do they want to play? What do they want to do competitively? What do they want to focus on to, you know, make money and compete?
What means the most to them?
Yeah, what about the casual, like, mm-hmm. gamer at home. Like, maybe the mom or dad that are playing games with their kids. Like, obviously you don't want them playing Halo or God of War or something like that. You might want to be playing Mario Odyssey with them. Mm-hmm. Or
showing their kids what they like to play. And
yeah, or like the Lego games or something along those lines, mm-hmm. where it's like you can play together as a family, and it's like, you know, relatively PG or PG-13.
Yeah.
But it's like, maybe the dad is streaming at night and wants to play Days Gone, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's just certain groups that you have to
catch in.
Yeah, get take to. All into account as gamers have gotten older and new gamers have, you know, been born and are starting to grow up.
Yeah. I know it's going to be weird to think of Ollie not really ever having that mascot, but at the same time, he's going to grow up with the generational versions of mascots.
Yeah. Well, and like for him, it's like, so when I was 5 years old, I got the Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
When he's 5 years old, it'll most likely be whatever the successor to the Switch is.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That'll be the first one that he really kind of, like, remembers mm-hmm. and plays. And, you know, might be his own, you know, kind of a thing. Like it was right. for me.
That bitch is going to sit on the floor and play Nintendo. 64.
No, I know he is. I'm just saying, like, time-wise or age-wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, no.
Having
yeah.
our own kid, like, that frame of reference is, like, weird. Because it's like, I was, you know, talking about, like, 1993. With him, we're talking about 2023.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so even just the time difference between that, my five-year-old self and his five-year-old self, as a dad to a son, it's like we're talking about a 30-year difference.
Just a bit of a gap there.
Yeah, and then all of the gaming that's happened in between.
Yeah.
All of the consoles, like, if I had a Sega Genesis and then, like, the next generation was, like, we'll just go Sony. But, mm-hmm. like, PS1, PS2, PS3, PS4, and then PS5,
eventually,
it would be like halfway through the PS5 cycle. We're talking about five console generations in between him and I.
Yeah, that is at the same age. It's insane.
Like, and so, like, if we just kind of map that over to Nintendo, there's been like five generations of Nintendo consoles in the in between time.
That's weird.
Because it was like, say, what, Super Nintendo for me. And then, so 64, GameCube, Wii U, Switch, and then he'll have the next one. So it'll be six consoles later in Nintendo.
Yep.
He'll probably play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, and that'll be his new console and will be, like, the cutting-edge thing and be the new thing to play. Like, and he'll still be fucking playing Mario and Zelda. Like, which is insane. Like,
and Pokemon's now.
Because I played a Super Nintendo when I was that age, too. And I played Super Mario World, and I played A Link to the Past. Yep. Like, that's what I played. Still my favorite Mario and my favorite Zelda game. They're on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, but now you like Pokemon's, too.
Yeah, I didn't get into that when I was a kid, for whatever reason.
It's because you're weird and by yourself.
But my favorite Zelda games are on the Game Boy Color.
Which is funny.
Yeah. Because I had Oracle of Ages and Oracle of mm-hmm. Seasons. Those are my favorites.
I still like...
just above Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time will always be my favorite.
But I mean, it's so weird because it's like... He'll be playing, you know, like Breath of the Wild 3 or something. Like, yeah. Bizarre. Whatever the sequel to Mario Odyssey
he's
is.
He's going to start off with the roughness of blowing on a cartridge and hoping the game works.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely be starting with the NES.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to be playing the original Zeldas and Mario Brothers and Donkey
Kong. We're making
Kong.
Our kids suffer.
Yeah, he's not going to be allowed to play new consoles.
the new consoles are for mom and dad.
Yeah. He can watch us play, but he's not going to play those. He's going to be popping in Zelda.
Good blowing the cartridge, kid.
That's not working. Well, I'll tell you, you got to fix it then.
Fix it. Fix it.
Yeah, I think that was a very good discussion about the rise, fall, yeah. and maybe re-rise of the gaming mascot.
Yeah, I think so, too. And
I think we covered a lot of bases.
Bases and basics. We probably didn't name off everything and everybody. Or what, you know, what is your mascot? What do you, like, game you say? And then
yeah, what did you start with? And what would you consider to be your gaming mascot? Because we talked about how yours was Pokemon because of the handhelds, mm-hmm. and then mine was Sonic because of the Genesis. I'm sure everyone has to have a start.
Yeah.
If you're a gamer. So sound off in the comments, or you can even Contact us.
Yep. Yeah. I'm at MerHobbit on Twitter tweets.
And I'm at Anthony R. Schultz. And then you can also hit us up on our email if you wanted. asinquisitor@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know. Well, it's always interesting to hear when people come back and say, you know, this was mine. This is what I feel like's a Moscow for me. And because everyone's got their own opinion.
Yeah, no ageism. Like, we do not care. If the first one you remember is, you know, playing Halo on the OG Xbox, and that Master Chief is yours, like, go for it. Or even if it's later and it's, you know, oh, I played Uncharted on the PS3. That's the first one I remember. Like, sound off with that. Like,
yeah, we appreciate that.
Or even older. Go back to, you know, Magnavox Odyssey days and Atari 2600. Or, yeah, you're, you know, maybe you went to the local arcade every weekend and there was something that you and your friends always played. And that was your gaming mascot, whether it was Pac-Man or anything else. But, yeah, sound off.
Sound off. Well, as always, this is Rage Quit.
Yeah, episode 11.
Oh, yeah. It's getting into the weeds now, folks.
Yep. We'll be back next week. Was that episode 12? We'll be doing the history and an in-depth kind of, like, deep dive into Bioshock.
Bioshock, is my favorite game.
Exactly. So we're going to be talking about Irrational Games, the studio behind Bioshock. Mm-hmm. And Bioshock Infinite, probably more specifically about Ken Levine, the creator of the series. Probably go a little bit further back into, like, System Shock and stuff, kind of the roots. Then we'll tie it all back in together by talking about System Shock 3 and Ken Levine's studio, which there's been some kind of rumors about what they might be working on.
Ooh, rumors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is
Bioshock 4. No. Aww.
It's like ghost story games.
I think so.
But yeah, a lot smaller studio working on smaller titles.
Yep. So, nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, we'll go from, like, System Shock to Ken Levine and Bioshock Trilogy to what they're working on now. And maybe the possibility of a Bioshock 4. There are rumors about it. It still exists, so.
It's there. It's there somewhere. IP.
And it's owned by the same people, the same publishing company.
There you go. Well, as always, thank you for listening and follow the bear.
Oh, the bear.
Peace. Sexy bear rage time.
Sexy bear rage time.
I like that up.
Sexy polar bear spam time.
Sorry. Bam. Bye, folks.
Peace. Hey there, guys. This is Anthony Schultz, one half of the duo for Rage Quit. I just wanted to spend a minute or two, at most, talking about Ariel and I's other endeavors or where you can follow her and I, if you're a fan of this podcast. So, I'm most prolific on Twitter as far as social media is concerned. I share more kind of gut reaction or, like, private experiences and opinions there. I'm at Anthony R. Schultz. Pretty easy to remember, just my name. And if you'd be so inclined, you can give me a follow, and I also drop Rage Quit links there every week, and other things that Ariel and I are both working on. AS Inquisitor also streams, which is the production company that produces Rage Quit, essentially myself at the moment, and I stream 5 days a week. I'm a variety streamer, so I do a little bit of everything. Hopefully, there's something there that you would really enjoy, even if it's just one day a week. I take every Thursday and Friday off, and you can follow and or subscribe at twitch.tv/ASInquisitor. All these links that I'm mentioning will be in the description box below, and I will reiterate. Also, AS Inquisitor has a YouTube channel. So if you're not listening to this podcast via YouTube, if you're using your preferred podcast provider, this podcast does make its way to YouTube. We will eventually be recording not only our voices, but also ourselves when we do the podcast. We're just working on some equipment issues right now. But we also have past streams that I've done for AS Inquisitor that have a little bit more kind of polish or pizzazz to them. They're divided up into, like, better bite-sized chunks.
for complete game playthroughs or Let's Plays. There's also a lot of unique content there. I record things throughout the week as I play games, just kind of funny moments or maybe even like personal achievements, things of that nature. And so you can search for AS Inquisitor on YouTube. And again, the link will be in the description below. But those are my three kind of primary platforms that you can find me on. So that's Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Ariel actually has her own YouTube channel called Painting with LM Schultz. She's a very talented painter. She has her fine arts degree and enjoys painting for, you know, cathartic reasons, as well as to improve on her, like, technical prowess. So she started her own YouTube channel to improve on her techniques, as well as show people kind of some basics or things that you can do painting-wise. There's also some other kind of crafty do-it-yourself kind of ideas and videos on there as well that pertain a little bit more personally to her and I, because they usually involve our family. You know, it's a family project that she's working on. For example, she did our son's Halloween costume, and so she walked through how she constructed and created, you know, the costume and how you could do something similar for your kiddos at home. And then finally, you can follow Ariel on Twitter as well. She is primarily on Twitter, just like myself. We don't really indulge in too many other social media platforms, save for maybe Instagram. I don't think we're as active on there. Ariel might be, more so than myself. But you can follow her at @merhobbit and give her a follow as well. And that's my lovely co-host and beautiful wife, Ariel. But anyways, I just wanted to stop in and kind of throw some links your way. And if you were curious about what AS Inquisitor was doing and what how Rage Quit kind of fit into that ecosystem, there it is. Yeah, got all the links for you. If you're interested in any one of those, all of those links are going to be in the description box below, and they're going to be in every podcast episode now. So I'm not sure if they're entirely there right now, but I'm going to be doing a fresh write-up and make sure and have all those included for you. So just click a link or copy and paste and head on over if any of those strike your fancy. But anyways, thanks for enjoying the show. Really appreciate it. We'll be back next week for more rage quittiness. And as always, follow the bear. And have a good evening, guys.